Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden tonight. A lot of people had circled for a very long time. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Markets, just for you, digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Saturday struck me as that sort of double-edged sword. We've been discussing overcoming adversity and how it's going to be critical, maybe seminal, in what's going to happen 4 to 6 weeks from now. But why there was adversity on Saturday and the self-inflicted nature of that sometimes, I guess, is part of the problem too.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously, it was the end of the third quarter. They went on a 10-0 run, all off things that we could control and do better. And so, you know, maybe in a normal situation, because you're playing against good teams, maybe they only score 5 points instead of 10 if you do your job really well. There's a big difference between being up 17 going into the fourth and up 12. And I thought that, you know, from that point on, it was anyone's ball game, and they came back and made it really tough.
They went on the same run in the first game here back early in the year. Is there a human nature? And it's funny because it was later in the game versus early in the game, but it was also with the big lead. And we've talked about giving up the long runs and those things that happen. How much does human nature play into it when you have an enormous lead at any stage of a game?
Plays into it a lot. And, you know, my regret there was not playing like Wanamaker and, you know, guys that were going to be more probably ready to play well in that moment. And I think sometimes that's one of the things that I really appreciate about guys that can come off the bench and keep a lead where it's at is those guys are extremely valuable. Like, you can put them in earlier than you normally would, and you know that they're going to do a great job of just making the next right play and not playing the score and, you know, making sure every possession is valued. We did not do a good job of that the other night. You know, for the most part, over the last few years, we have been pretty good at it. But obviously, you know, with the Clippers game earlier this year and then this game the other day, the good news is that we found a way to center ourselves and go back and win the game.
Al is available tonight, and I'm sure in a perfect world you would not have had him go back in the game on Saturday. There are a couple of elements here. The first is a player, there has to be an extraordinary amount of trust with a player who says, I want to go back in, when most players want to go back in even when they shouldn't. I mean, you have to be able to, that has to be a long-term relationship, trust between player and coach before you're going to say, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I asked three times. So I asked him, I asked Art Horn, and then I asked Al again. And all three times, they said for whatever reason, he was just stiff coming out of the locker room and didn't feel great. But once he got warmed up and stretched with Brian, he felt a lot better. And we didn't have any hesitancy in putting him in at that point. But we just kind of monitored it over the last 48 hours, and he feels great now. And like I said in the post game, we've already got planned days for him to rest. And if need be, if he has any pain at all, then we would take that, and he would rest regardless.
There's a couple of back-to-back games obviously coming up. At what point of the season, that is not something I imagine you decided yesterday, at what stage are you looking at the schedule saying, this is an ideal world, these are the games he wouldn't play?
Well, I met with Al when we returned from the West Coast. And, you know, going into the West Coast, you know, shoot, we were just doing everything we could to win a game. You know, like, it was, we were really struggling up to that point. But the reality is regardless of where we're ultimately seated, he's a huge, huge part of this. And he's played exceptionally well here in the last couple of months. And that's not a coincidence that it's coming off feeling great. And so we want to make sure that he feels great heading into April. And he feels great right now. That was an anomaly the other day. So we're looking forward to getting him the appropriate opportunity, but also keeping him crisp. And I think that that's quite a balance. Last year was really unique because we had the second seed basically sewn up for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, I think the rest really benefited us as we got ready to play against Milwaukee. And, you know, I think it helped us get a 2-0 lead on that series, and that was a big deal.
As we've seen all year, this has been, certainly in my view, a unique season in the NBA. The volume of good teams, the parity, for any of the few that have emerged from the pack, that is really impressive. And pretty much all year it's been Milwaukee, Toronto, Golden State, and of course Denver. And before we get to how they've done it, it's that they have been resilient, even a couple of three-game losing streaks here and there, but they've been resilient all year in maintaining that sort of ferocious pace they've been on. That's hard to do.
Really hard to do. They've done a great job of that, and they've had their ups and downs here recently, but have just continued to play and play well. And I've got a lot of respect for Mike and the job he does. They've got a lot of good young talent, and they've got excellent passing bigs up and down the line. When you start with Jokic, everybody talks about him, but Plumlee and Millsap, they can play through those guys. And if the guards aren't going, they can go get buckets or make plays for everybody on the court.
All right, you mentioned some of the names, and, you know, Jamal Murray had the big game in November. The year Monte Morris has had is one of the real under-the-radar things in the league. Just a rookie does not turn the ball, young player does not turn the ball over. But while people know that Jokic guy is good, they may not see him a lot, I don't think they appreciate, with the guys you mentioned around him, particularly Millsap, the creativity and the toughness in that package with the things that he can do. It makes him so unique.
Jokic?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, somebody had told me one time, is this true that he was a water polo player?
Yeah.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, that ball just gets whipped around the court. And I think he puts you in a real bind because he can physically dominate in the post. He can physically take a guy from the elbow to the basket without much real effort. And then if you overhelp, he's a tremendous passer. And to me, it looks like he prefers to pass. He's one of those guys that plays the game really unselfishly. I bet he's fun to play with. But I think ultimately, is he able to create problems?
Last night, Isaiah tweeted, as he does from time to time, to see if anyone was, you know, out running. If there was a pickup game he could walk onto.
Yep.
An hour later, video surfaced of him in a pickup game over at Emerson College. You can say a lot about that guy. It was my job for 2.5 years to say a lot about that guy. I'm not sure there are words that can explain him better than that.
Loves the hoop. Loves to hoop. Always has, always will. Just an infectious personality. Chip on his shoulder. Loves to work at the game. Loves to play. I always said that, you know, when our seasons were over, he was likely to find a YMCA to play or the boys club back in Tacoma, right? So, like, he's just been an amazing, you know, amazing player for a long time, and the 2 years he had here were just ridiculous.
What always struck me about it, and I've got this crazy stat about the number of games, the Celtics record in the games that he played, the 179 games he played, it was exactly reversed for the previous 179 games. I mean, exactly reversed from the games he played before that. It always struck me during it, particularly when it was over, as the ultimate symbiotic basketball relationship where he was in his career, where the Celtics were, and where both were after the 2.5 years together.
There's no doubt. And that was I've talked many times about how hard that day was, and it wasn't harder for anybody than him, but it was really hard to see him go. And, you know, I just think that the way that he played, the way that he embraced the community and the city, he loved playing here, and people loved watching him play here. And I really appreciate the way he went about it. You know, I think as the years go on, you don't think about necessarily what your team was able to do or how far you went or anything like that. You think about the people that really impacted you, and he had an impact on a lot of people.
And on this crowd as well, and they will show him tonight. Celtics and Nuggets next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.